Okay, so that's this is Frank Rogers, and it's Reel 3. Frank, we were just you were talking about being in this glass top garage in Antwerp.
Yes. And I remember the odd shells kept dropping through the roof. And one Dan Ayer, that was with the HP company, and his name was Wilkerson, and he comes from around Nelson or Burnley earlier. And I remember a shell dropping in the centre of the garage, and it ripped part of his leg off, his boot off and everything. And honestly, I picked him up, we put him on a... We had one or two stretchers, and we used to put him on the length of it, on top of the bending carriers. Whenever we could, and I took him to Field General Hospital at Wupper Tower, Field General Hospital 77. I'll never forget it. And I was running wounded from there for a day or two there, from there.
Wuppertal is...
It's near... I think it's near Antwerp, isn't it?
I don't know.
I remember that particular time, taking Wilkerson to Clean General Hospital, Wuppertal.
But he was certainly, you're saying, injured.
He died while he was on the carrier.
And that was there in Antwerp?
Yeah, so. That was in Antwerp, yeah.
Anything else?
They used to use bending carriers whenever they could, and they used to put two stretchers lengthways on top of the bending carrier, and then I used to take them to the nearest field at hospital or ambulance place there was, you know.
What else were you doing around that time, Frank, around Antwerp?
Recall? No, you just stay put there. But while we was there, I remember one night, I was with Jimmy's at the time, and we was tipping down or something, and then we heard running feet coming down this road. And then all at once they said, Jerry's brought three, they said, get out of it, stay to it. We remember running down this road, and then everything went quiet, and then we turned around and went back again.
And when you think that was in Antwerp?
I think I'm almost sure it was in Antwerp.
Early. But, okay, so that's, we said early September.
Yes.
And there's another date that I've got in my mind, which is about the third week of September, which is when the airborne boys were dropped on Arnhem.
Now, I remember, I couldn't tell you what particular place it was, but we was all dug in in the sort of trenches, and when the airborne come over our heads, it's the nicest sight I've ever seen in my life. You'd have jumped to see the sky for planes and gliders coming over the top of us.
I mean, that could have been around that time.
It could have been around about that time.
Could have been. But did you ever hear that name mentioned around that time, talking about Arnhem or airborne divisions?
No. But I believe we was in that corridor.
Okay.
We was in that corridor, you know, because we're 53rd Rods Division has been mentioned in the Market Gardener.
Yeah, that's right. But you can't place being actually there.
No, I can't place exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll help you along with where I know, you know, the battalion went, because that was early in September. A bit later in September, I'll have to think myself about this, Frank. Hang on. Okay, so we've just had a little thought about this, and from the corridor, the Arnhem corridor, we think you went out, you were saying, you mentioned something about Nijmegen, and then with a build-up to eventually going through and going to a city of St. Ergenbosch.
Yes, I remember St. Ergenbosch.
You remember being there, Frank?
Yes, I remember being there, all right. I remember when we was all lining up and everything, and then they was talking about the East Lancashire Regiment in our brigade, right? he'd have to do this on the railway lines. So when we started going down the railway lines, it was shocking. It was. You see odd tanks on the near side because all the ground were very marshy down there. And you see the infantry lads there, all monitoring tank vehicles. And the infantry lads were walking and there was on tanks and one thing and another. One or two lads was with me on top of the railway carrier. And was going over the sleepers, bumpity, bumpity, bump all the way along on the rail lines towards the Ertogen bus. And the artillery shells was going over the top of our heads into the Ertogen bus.
Yeah. So, and then what happened when you got into Ertogen bus, Frank?
Well, you see, when you got in the Ertogen bus, more or less, you were static for probably a few hours, you know, and there's all the lads coming round you and going forward and running up and down the streets and things like that.
At this stage, are you driving the CO?
The CO didn't go down the rail. I don't know where the CO, but the CO wasn't with me down the railway lines. But Rod Days, he was called for his baggage carrier, and then I was taking out on different villages.
Yeah.
If he had any doubts, he used to take the second in command and he's going his jeep behind me. And I was in the main carrier. And he always had an half track with us from the Royal Artillery. And he kept in touch with the corporal behind me, in touch for the artillery up to laying the 25-pound of guns down.
Yeah.
For the battalion, you see.
Yeah. But he wasn't with you at this particular time.
He weren't with me going down the railway lines at the bus.
Who did you have with you, Frank?
I had a full corporal behind me who was in touch with the CO all the time. You see, you never knew where the CO, whether he was in a jeep or another vehicle, or he might have been with the leading company behind, because you see, sometimes the CO was behind you because the CO wouldn't go up front. He always had a leading company up front of him, either A company, B company, C company, and he's changed them around.
They're the rifle companies, aren't they?
Yeah, the rifle companies, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he always had a leading company up front of him.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you remember when you got into St. Ergen Bush, what it was like in there, and what was happening?
Well, it's like it was a big city, Ertogen Bush, and there was a lot of activity. But we couldn't go through Ertogen Bush as fast as we'd like to, because you got held up for a day or two. It wasn't on the same place.
Yeah, yeah. How long were you there, Frank? Any ideas?
I think we started to Ertogen for about 5 days, I think.
About 5 days?
About 5 days, yeah.
I think that's probably about right, because that it takes you up then to about the getting on for the end of October.
Yeah.
End of October.
But I believe it was liberated on the 23rd of October.
23rd, was it?
23rd of October, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I mean, do you remember what happens next, or any thoughts about where you may have gone to after that? Yeah.
I can't really remember.
Do you remember going down to a place called the Mars?
River Mars?
Yeah.
I remember the rivers. When you mentioned the rivers, I remember it, yes.
And what was happening down there?
Well, it's like I've said before. During the day, we couldn't go across if the bridges were blown. It's like in all them bridges in round Ertogen Bush, there were about 7 or 8 bridges, and I believe there was only one bridge what left completed. They blew all the bridges down, you see.
Right.
So they had to rely on the Royal Engineers coming up to build a pair of bridges overnight while they put the artillery cells over top of the bridges, you see.
Yeah. Did you, just going back then to Ertogen Bush a bit, did you see any sort of armour or anything of that nature in Ertogen Bush?
Yeah, we had flamethrowers with us. We had three, with our battalion, we had three, I forgot the Dark Major's name now. I've met him, and he in 3 or 2 tanks with him, with the flamethrowers behind.
What do they? What do they call those flamethrowers?
Crocodiles. Crocodiles. And the massive things.
Did you see those being fired?
Yes, I've actually seen them being used going across the fields in Normandy. And if they've gone to far forward, I've seen. I'm almost sure they've been our own lads. If they've gone in buildings, and the flamethrowers, the ones operating the flamethrowers, if they've not known the other lads, they've penetrated the fuel onto them buildings, and our own lads have come running out to fire.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
And I've known, talking about Normandy, I've known our artillery shells, and they've not been done on purpose. Well, I've known our own shells falling short across the fields. You know, when the infantry's more or less advancing across fields, well, it's up to the officer to, like, give them so many degrees high and low, you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen odd shells dropping short among our own lads.
Yeah.
And their own lads.
Yeah.
But whose fault that is, I don't know.
No, that's right. We were down toward the river called the Mars, weren't we? About November time.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what the weather was like, but I imagine being November.
Yeah. I thought they were going to be near water.
Yeah.
Being near water, and I think they missed the foggy, you see. But you see, with those being in vehicles, if the bridge were blown, what we had to do then is stop at the other side and wait till the bridge is going up.
Yeah.
But the poor infantry lads had to go across in boats or wade across and get across the best way they could.
Yeah.
But they had the 25 pounders, they always had the 25 pounders shooting over the top of them at the jetty to cover our own lads, you see, right across the river and build the Bailey bridges.
Yeah. Okay, so in November we know you're on the Mars. And I know as well that I don't know whether you remember anything after the Mars, particularly.
I can't. I can remember various places, but you know, foreign places you just can't remember, you see.
Any names that come to mind at all at this stage?
No.
Okay. I mean, I know that again. That's a bit after November. We moved to December. And I know that in December, Germans break through the Americans in the Ardennes.
In the Ardennes, yes.
And I know that you were involved in the Ardennes.
I remember now, in one particular place, I can't think of when it was, but we travelled three days or three nights we travelled, during the night, I think it was, on the travel during the night to cover off the length of the Ardennes.
Tell me what the weather was like for those three days and nights.
It was very, very cold, because it was up to naked snow in the Ardennes.
No, but if you travelled for 3 days and it was very cold.
Very, very cold, you know, but it's like I say, he never bothered, he took it in his car, you know. But I'm almost sure we go off one front and take over off the ends of the Ardennes.
Yeah, you did. Actually, you did. And you see, what you've said there is, I can sort of, what little I know about it, there was a long drive down to the Ardennes. And
it could have taken... I'm almost sure it could be two to three nights driving.
Yeah.
And, you know... As regards the traffic and the roads and all of you know, take your time.
So you were still driving the CO's carrier?
Yes, I was on the CO's carrier all the way through.
Right, and did you on this 3 days drive, was he with you at that stage?
Odd times. Just odd times. So he really thought it was a bit sticky, but he didn't want to go in the Jeep. I took it, yes.
And do you remember which one it was at this
time? No, I can't remember. No. I saw about that many, you know.
What about any, I mean, it's a very, almost in a privileged place to be, isn't it? CO's carrier.
Yeah, driver. Definitely, yeah.
So I just wonder if at that stage you're hearing any information.
No. I used to take him to various places, like if he was having a meeting or a conference, ice taking, and it just depends how the area was, you see.
Yeah.
But I always have two or three more vehicles with me, the half track for the artillery, and the second in command officer. The second in command officer always used to come with the half the terrorists. I saw a lot of half the terrorists then.
Yeah.
Half the terrorists drove the second in command.
Okay. Well, so when you get down to the Ardennes, you know it's the Ardennes because there's a lot of snow around.
Yes.
What can you recall about being down there?
Well, while I was born in the Ardennes, it was a sticky spot. There's no doubt about it. On the narrow roads, I remember getting slewed up the road one time, and I was off the road 3 days with the track off, and I was left there on my own for 3 days. With the track off, I couldn't move forward or back.
Nobody else, there's just you?
Well, just, there's always the troops there, right? But I realised that keep going forward, you see, and I rejoined them later on.
So you're behind the whole of the town?
I was just about 3 days with the track off in the Ardennes.
Yeah. And what, so...
I recall too.
and so what did you do during that 3 days?
Well, up to the best, till the LAD came out to you. You know, the all the equipment and that for towing you out and things like that.
What's the LAD?
Well, the repair vehicles. The repair vehicles.
What about eating and food and drinking?
Oh, you always got something.
Right,
if you miss a meal, you just make up for it next meal.
Yeah, yeah.
Get what you could.
Yeah.
Well, you always have. They had biscuits with me. I'd had biscuits in the car, and I've never shot a bully beef. Tins of bully beef. I wouldn't go hungry.
So you always had stuff.
I always had the stuff in the car. I never went hungry, honestly.
Okay. But eventually, you get pulled out of there.
Get pulled out. I rejoin the lads.
Rejoin them further on.
Because when you went on your travels, they had little signs out, number 61 on your own number, you see, of your battalion.
Oh, it's
Italian, Div, and you sweep for the Red W, to pick the third rails.
Yes.
And you stick them in inside at different roads, you know.
Yes, because, of course, by this time you were 53rd Welsh Division.
53rd, all the way to.
Yeah, I'll stop this. Okay, Frank, so you've just caught up with the battalion in the Ardennes, and you're still moving further into the Ardennes, presumably.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the things I can think of is. The more you went into the Ardennes, you see troops coming out as you were taking over.
Mm.
Sometimes you see the Yanks, sometimes you saw your own troops moving up and down.
Mm. But at this stage, you mentioned the Yanks there, Americans there.
Yes.
So they were obviously in the Ardennes. And
they was in the Ardennes. But what we were told is the Ardennes wouldn't dig in.
Mm.
That's what we were told. And we were more or less picked to take over off them. But the first thing they told us when we took over in the Ardennes, and if we were stopped anywhere in any length of time, we used to have to dig in when there was snow or not.
Yep.
There was solid snow there. And that's why I think the Yanks got a bashing in the Ardennes, because they wouldn't dig in and they wouldn't scan as they were.
They couldn't. The ground was hard, was it?
Well, it was hard. It was softy places, of course.
Yeah.
It just depends, really. If you went on the trees and that, they're softer. You went on the trees and that.
Okay. So, can you remember anything about what the fighting was in the Ardennes or what was going on?
Not. It's just tanks firing at one another, and you can see. You couldn't really see a big distance because of there was always a lot of trees there, as I remember. Trees and narrow tracks.
And was there deep snow, or was it?
Oh, it was deep enough, all right, yeah.
Right. Okay.
A couple of feet deep, and where I got stuck, and I brought a track up, and that was it.
Yeah. What about the cold? I mean, did you have special cold?
No.
Special
As I can remember, I've had a waterproof cover over me, because they were all open in the Bengal carriers.
Yeah.
I like a big overall on me.
Yeah. Because you had Christmas in the Ardennes.
Christmas in the Ardennes.
So,
yeah.
So do you remember that Christmas in your service overseas?
I don't remember much of that. No, not really. Well, we got food all that. I don't think we need to grumble about food. We got the food all that.
So you didn't have a Christmas tree up, or you know,
no, nothing like that. No.
Or you know, Christmas pudding and turkey or anything like that.
I don't think so. Anyway.
So you can't.
I know the food was all that.
Well, on that Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so then you go through Ardennes and you also New Year's. Any special celebrations for that, can you recall?
No, I can't, no.
Okay. How long do you think you may have been down that way then, Frank, down in the Ardennes, did it seem like?
Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, when you think about it, he didn't bother, did he? He took it day to day.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I took it day to day and... When there's any heavy stuff coming down, and you start to get your head down, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. All right. And, but can you remember any heavy stuff coming down around that period?
Yes. It come and go, you know, because I always thought we had the high ground, you see. On this movement, as you did, they was on top of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said something earlier about any signs of movement, and you were shelled or something.
Definitely.
When the tape was off,
yeah.
And you said something about the vehicles and any sound with the vehicles starting up.
Yes, we were getting ready to move in the morning, and when we got ready, when we were getting ready in the morning, ready for moving, I mean, so we start up kind of thing with our engines and the least movement. And then the shells used, the 10mm shells used come on top of you, because with the exhaust fumes and the movement of the adrenaline carriers and the odd tanks and carbon lines moving about, you got the shells on top of you.
Yeah. And some of this was happening in the Ardennes?
Oh, definitely. Every morning or during the course of the day.
Yeah.
Different times of the day, the least movement and you got the shells on top of you.
Yeah. You're in the Ardennes for a few days, and a lot of this was happening, obviously. Were there any injuries that you were aware of? Are people getting injured? Or?
Oh, yes, definitely. If, you know, every other hour, two or three bodies at side of you, and then you each move the same again, you know.
Yeah.
We helped them when we could, but if there was any movement and we're moving forward, we just have to leave them and move forward. We could stay with them.
Yeah. Okay. And then, can you remember what happened after that, sort of after the Ardennes period?
I just can't remember now. Can't remember after the Ardennes. What particular town or village or anything?
All right.
No.
Do you remember, because... again, I've checked the book, I looked at the records, and I know that after the Ardennes, you went to a town called Huy and Helmond.
Helmond, I've heard of Helmond, yes.
Yeah.
But I can't place nothing...
Nothing that's happened at Helmond.
No, not really.
Because the next major time there, because that was around January time.
Yes.
And I know that there was some training around Helmond, and I'll tell you what the training was for. It was for the next battle, which was going to be the Reichswald Forest.
Reichswald Forest. Well, I don't really... You see, with being an HQ company, I didn't do infantry... Well, let's put it that way. I didn't do infantry training with the foot sloggers.
Yeah.
That's why I can't really help you on that point.
No. But... Have you got any thoughts or memories about that forest place in the
Reichswald Forest? That was terrible as well. Nothing but trees on top of one another, and when there were shells, shrouds and shrapnel flying about, it was terrible.
Yeah. This was, I can tell you when it was, because this was about February time.
February.
Of 45.
45, yeah.
Can you remember around that time any sort of heavy gunfire?
Well, at that particular time, I remember the various planes of the Yanks coming over the top of us in the Reichswald Forest.
Mm.
and they were machine gunning on, because I know for a fact they were machine gunning on it with our 3 tonners, what was under the trees, when they got the flak off these aircraft, because it was right near the front, you see.
And they were American aircraft,
you see? American aircraft, yes.
Yeah. And through that forest, it was it was February, and I'm not sure what the weather was doing, but you said it was...
It was just similar. It was similar to the Ardennes, because it was February time.
But what about, what, snow, you mean? There was snow there, or...?
It was cold, and odd patches of snow, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got the Reichswald Forest that you go through. Any thoughts about anywhere in particular around that time? Earlier we was talking to you, you mentioned Cleve and Gok as two places. What can you remember there, going through there?
Nothing of importance, really, tell you the truth.
It was, earlier you said about it was a bit damaged and a lot of buildings.
Well, everything was knocked about, you know. It's funny how the people lived there.
Yeah.
When you think about it, everything was in one thing or another.
Yeah, yeah. And then you were moving down, I know, toward the crossing of the River Rhine.
Crossing of the River Rhine, yes.
Mm.
Well, crossing of the River Rhine, same again. With me being on a vehicle, we can't get across a river without the bridges going down.
Yeah.
So, poor infantry have to take all the flak again by crossing the river and then putting the bridges on. And then we cross the river now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
But one thing I can remember, if I'm not mistaken, if we was on this side of the river, previous to the River Rhine, and we was all dug in, we were dug in for a few days previous to crossing there, because we were getting ready for the big push towards Hamburg.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, that's crossing of the Rhine, you're going into Germany.
So they say you can't have to cross the River Rhine first, yes.
You crossed into Germany in the forest at Reichswald, that was Germany then.
Yeah.
But in fact, when you crossed the Rhine, that was, as you say, that was the big push to go up towards
Hamburg.
But
while I was on the banks of River Rhine, that's when the we saw a lot of aircraft, our Yankee bombers going over on the parachutes, going over the river.
Yeah, because you said you saw some of those that's on the Arnhem Corridor.
Yes.
But now you're seeing them again, are you?
Seeing them again over the River Rhine. Yes.
Over the River Rhine.
Yeah.
So you cross the Rhine, and then you're going towards... any ideas which way you're going to from there?
Well, I can't really tell you the truth. No. Yeah.
Okay. But you mentioned Hamburg, and you're going up towards Hamburg.
Yeah, yeah.
And you cross the Rhine about the middle of March, or the third week of March, basically. What about just generally going across Germany at that time and eventually finishing up in Hamburg?
Well, I remember what we were told, once we got on the River Rhine, we were told to be very, very careful as regards going into Germany, because it had been known as the German women were throwing Erlans flowers, and there was grenades in the flowers, and it was that time when they didn't use any gunners, that's the motorcyclists, they put a steel rod right up front of the jeeps. So when they was going out day afternoon or night, if there was any wires across the roads, they'd have it to bring wires across the roads for killing gunners and things like that.
Yeah.
So he was told, be careful, don't pick anything up and on entering Germany. And that's when we got a bit uneasy.
Yeah.
We were flying to doing anything wrong, that kind of thing.
Do you remember seeing the... the German civilians there in the streets and so on, or around?
Just problems, yes.
Yeah.
You know, but I never used to bother with them at all. Never used to bother with them at all, because you can't trust them.
What was their reaction to you going through?
Well, I suppose the same thing.
So what's your next memory of that time?
Well, up down the River Rhine, after we'd been dug in and the parachutists went across, I don't know how many miles it was from River Rhine, but I remember them going for the big push for Hamburg. Right. We were told to keep going towards Hamburg.
Okay. Do you remember any rivers at all after the Rhine? Going over any rivers at all after the Rhine?
I remember when it's mentioned. if I look at the map or anything like that, I remember the names of the rivers.
Yeah, I mean, there are, after the Rhine, there's a place called Ems-Weser Canal. Which does not know where that rings
any
bells.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell when you saw it.
Then you went over the Weser, the River Weser.
And well, I remember the river crossings because we had to angle, you see, because of the bridges.
Yeah.
They blowed all the bridges, you see.
After the Weser, you went over the Aller.
Aller, yeah.
Any recollections of that?
No.
Okay. And there was a lot of villagey sort of fighting around there.
Yes, that's right, yes, yeah.
But then there was a push up to Hamburg.
Hamburg, yes.
Yeah. And that you can remember and recall Hamburg.
Well, the only thing I can remember, when we were stuck in, we were...